Plotcast.
We talk about all the finest ponuts. Do you enjoy that bag of Rarity Ashels I left you?
Yes, yes, I did.
You take them and just like.
It's like marshmallow.
I was like, look, Taryn, I'm talking a Rarity Ashels.
It's like, okay.
Like, that's when nice.
Should have found a little spike toy and, like, stuffed him headfirst into it.
No, he's more like, honey, it's not legal to divorce you yet. Someday.
Just you wait.
Oh, that'd be so funny. If everywhere they legalized gay marriage, but not gay divorce. So that everyone that, like, ran into, like, yay, let's get married, you're stuck that way.
It kind of is.
Well, not in Texas. I mean, it doesn't count at all here. But
Well, if you're legally married, well, let's record this.
We're recording this already.
Well, we hadn't done the intro.
Yeah. Welcome to Notcast. No, let's try this again.
No, we're already talking. Just go. No.
Yes.
No, just keep recording. This is it. This is the show. We don't have many emails. We need to just keep... We can't lose that last 5 minutes. It is too vital.
We need to pad this shit, yo.
I'm already padded enough. Ugh. Welcome to Notcast. My name is Fuzzwolf, and I'm legally married.
I'm Saverin, and I'm not.
I'm not anymore. Used to be.
You got legally divorced.
Yeah. Well, looping back to... That
episode 266, the gay tsunami.
Because in Texas, to get a divorce, you have to be a resident of the state for 6 months.
Uh-huh.
And that's the same in most other states, too. You have to be a legal resident. And then, of course, you have to be legally married. You mm-hmm. can't get a divorce in Texas if they don't recognize your marriage.
Yeah.
So for federal reasons and as far as other states where you're legally married are concerned, you can't get divorced. You'd have to move to another state.
Live there for 6 months. And then become a divorced.
I actually, there were a couple of folks on some of the message boards where they were separated from their partner and they couldn't do jack shit unless they moved out of state. You can go to other states and get married. You can't go to other states and get divorced.
Wow, I am stuck with Taryn.
Yes.
As if the
first
13 years were not enough.
Just saying, yes. There's no undo button here.
Sorry.
Damn.
Without
but all those twinks to fuck. Oh, wait, I can still do that.
Yeah.
No.
So,
I am happy in my marriage and...
Unfortunately, some people who were not happy in theirs are kind of fucked.
Yeah, that is a pity. See, yeah, it's just making it difficult for us all the way around. But probably not for much longer because we're like...
It's kind of tidal waving.
Yeah, it really is. Like that one decision to not make a decision, funny enough, was like made a decision
mm-hmm.
for like all those states. And I know like... The dust is not all settled legally yet in a lot of those.
Well, in the last week, they've added West Virginia and Nevada and Utah and I think New Mexico and Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Fucking Oklahoma. And so there's also the attorneys. I'm looking at Joe My God, which is a really good gay rights information blog. Apparently, the judge denies the state Republican Party of North Carolina an attempt to delay the ruling in marriage case. Judge denies NCGOP's request for 8-day extension, and Safari just crashed, giving their attorneys until noon tomorrow to respond before he issues a summary judgment.
Mm.
Meaning, oh, come on. No.
Oh, I love the footnote in that one. Like you reposted a bunch of people.
Yeah.
It's like, we are seriously doubt it's going to drive heterosexual couples to sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
The judge gave them until noon tomorrow to file their motion to intervene, tomorrow being October 10th, right? Today's the 9th?
Yeah.
October 10th, 2014. This will be going on in a couple days. So Yeah, that's pretty cool. So now for marriage equality, we have Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, West Virginia, Virginia, Maryland, Connecticut, Delaware, all the Northeast states, Pennsylvania just recently. And of course, there's, I think there was, weren't there marriages in South Carolina too or something like that? Or maybe their own circuit. They have their own circuit, I think. North Carolina, yes.
No, I thought South Carolina was in the same circuit as North Carolina, but they're the ones that weren't being directly sued. They were in the circuit. So technically it does affect them, but like there has to be some other kind of thing issued or something. That was the thing, like when the Supreme Court decision happened, it was like, it affects these 11 states. Well, actually, five of them. Because five of them it affected right away. They were the ones that were directly involved in the suits. And then the other six states were the states that were in that circuit that had things going on or something. Or maybe they didn't. I don't remember. And those there needs to be some sort of thing, certification or something done. I don't know all the legal ins and outs of it. And I'm not sure, like one of the states at least was fighting it. One of the states was like, we're not going to do it unless we're specifically told that we have to do it or something like that. And, you know, basically what it comes down to, I think, is that if a gay couple goes to get married and they're denied and they sue, they basically win because there's already a precedent in that state circuit. Yeah. So that's not going to take very long to happen. And the state might as well say, fuck it, and just make it legal.
But they're being stubborn asses.
Yeah.
At least one state was, yeah.
In Wyoming, court sets October 16th date for hearing on marriage equality case.
Wasn't Arkansas, like, briefly legal, and then they put a stay in place?
Yeah. Then West Virginia, marriage license to begin. North Carolina, Asheville City Hall flies a pride flag as state awaits marriage. In West Virginia, the Attorney General just like, all right, well, fine, fuck it.
Yeah.
And it's just really kind of cool, because a lot of the states are like, all right, fine, we'll let you queers get married. Fuck.
Yeah, it's kind of come down to that.
And, I mean, you have, Texas has been declared unconstitutional, and it's on hold pending the Fifth Circuit. And so there's basically, you know, once the Fifth Circuit rules...
Is there any time on when that's due to happen?
No.
There was actually somebody... I think the plaintiff in that case requested that it basically get fast-tracked onto the Supreme Court's docket. So hopefully that happens, and the Supreme Court will have to make a ruling one way or the other sooner than later.
It would be weird if they ruled it like DOMA down and then they kept it up. So it's pretty much, I mean, I can't see that really... How can you strike down DOMA and then uphold this? It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see.
You can tell the Wikipedia has been recently updated because it says same-sex marriage is legally recognized by a majority of U.S. states and by the United States federal government. So according to this, 27 states and the District of Columbia.
So that is a majority now, which is kind of awesome.
Yep.
And you have dumbasses like Ted Cruz going, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to run and I'm going to put a federal marriage amendment up for vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's the other guy in Utah who is – he's in state government and he's putting up a state bill to make all same-sex marriages be called – has something like
Parages
or something like that.
Got to keep them queers separate and equal.
Yeah, like they're trying to make it like a separate word. basically, just so it doesn't have to be marriage.
It doesn't sully
those poor benighted heterosexuals.
Ugh.
How dare they? How dare those queers want to get married and have shit like be eligible for their partner's HSA?
Yeah, I know.
Dental insurance.
Well, because with that, we can rule the world.
Oh, I tell you what,
Fucking rainbows everywhere, motherfucker.
If you know, the day that I have, that we have shared access to is HSA, I mean, man, the we're just going to have gay augmentation surgery and become gay cyborgs. And we're just going to go around force converting people with our gay nanomachines.
Mm-hmm.
Just inject like the Borg, except you just become really gay and toned.
Nice. Yeah, everyone looks like one of those gym bunnies.
Okay. You can totally like, do you want it to look like a bear? Do you want it to be like a gym dude? Do you want it to be a twink? It's just like, forge your own gaze. Yeah.
You just find straight guys you like the look of, and then you fire your gay beams at them.
Yep.
And they're like, ah!
That's how it works.
That's how we spread the gay.
It's one of those things that we're in Texas, and it's going to take a long time.
Why do you guys keep saying this?
It
has nothing to do with the culture of the state.
No, but I'm saying that the Fifth Circuit's dragging its fucking heels.
Or maybe not. I mean, like I said, the plaintiffs are pushing to get it fast-tracked. But you even said that earlier. You're like, Oklahoma, oh my God. It's like,
true. I mean, Kansas.
They had the right people in the legislature. Years ago, Idaho, you know? Yeah. Or was it Iowa or Iowa? Sorry, yeah. I got a major hard on for potatoes, and I'm just wait. Corn and Nazis?
No. Potato? Idaho is potatoes and Nazis.
How is Idaho potatoes and Nazis?
Because Idaho, as a state, has a single large concentration of white supremacist groups in the country.
The state is mostly white. What the fuck do they want?
That's why the white supremacists all go there, because it's all white.
They could just go to New England.
I don't fucking know,
dude. Like Connecticut is like 92% white or something ridiculous.
I don't know.
No, that's New Hampshire.
Okay.
The Northeast is pretty darn white. But no, that's Illinois Nazi.
It's just the snow.
Idaho Nazi.
Even they blend in.
Yeah, exactly. No, even the black people up there look white because they're fucking frozen. they're blue. Everyone's blue.
So, yeah, that's... it's just exciting because, hey, there's all this cool shit going on in the world of the gay. And, Stephen Colbert did a pretty funny thing about, the gay civil war is coming.
Oh, Tyrion was watching that tonight, and he made me come over and watch it. And it's like a Ken Burns-style sepia-toned documentary called The Gay Civil War.
Yeah.
Oh, good times. And then I'm out of here because... Ick.
And like he was writing it, and they're like, ick is all capped. It's interesting times.
It really is. I mean, I actually did not think I would live to see the day where the U.S. had a majority of states have legal gay marriage and be gay married myself. You know, I just did not see that happening in my lifetime. So it is really amazing. And to see how quickly it's changed. Like, Saverin posted a little animated GIF to his Tumblr of the progress of gay marriage equality over time. And it started with Massachusetts in 2004. And then there's like, did you notice there's like a big, long stretch of nothing? Like, nothing changes. And then in like 2009, the corn state gets it, and then and then all of a sudden, very quickly after that, it's just like ping, 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 and until it ends in 2014, and it's like, and there, here we are today.
I've always been stupid proud of my birth state for doing that, being the first.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and wasn't it like they were the wait, your birth state was which one? Oh, Mass. Okay. Because I know one of the other ones up there was the first one to do it not by court decision.
Vermont, like, probably.
Like, to actually vote on it and in their not the populace, but where the legislature passed a bill and the governor signed it.
It's going to be interesting to see when this all wraps up, just kind of go back of who was forced, who went willingly.
Yeah.
Who didn't fight it, you know.
Who went willingly into the rainbow arms of the gay apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said, like.
Yeah, so, like, here's the gif, and it's like, yeah, 2004 is Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
2009, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And then Washington, California, and then just...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All across the country.
Yeah.
There's not a solid, unbroken line of states. You still have to cross through anti-gay marriage territory to go across the country if you're driving.
Hawaii and Alaska?
Hawaii now has it. Alaska does not. But they're...
Mm-hmm.
Palin country.
They're in the circuit with another state that has it, so... They'll probably have it before too long.
When did Hawaii get gay marriage?
2013.
Oh, okay.
According to this GIF.
Was it I'm wondering
it was a,
how.
I think it was a willing vote.
Mm-hmm.
And then the governor signed it. It was not like the courts forced them.
Cool.
Still.
Okay, well, on that note, good night, Big Ball. I'm going to go home and suck off my husband at the end.
Yep. It's just you can't focus anymore. It's just all this gay news has just made you super horny for ultra gay sex.
that's how
gay
it works.
Sex, ultra gay sex.
My personal productivity is now shot, and you know, and that's what they're really worried about. You know, is that the 10% of workers just can't work anymore because they're just overcome by the gay.
Yeah.
And we apparently don't have a ability to be employed?
No, yeah. We have to keep getting paid, but it's like it's a disability because, I mean, it's something you're born with.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So they have to pay us. But, and like, no work is getting done. The GDP collapses. The stock market falls apart. You know?
That's like saying I was born with blonde hair and blue eyes, and yeah, they're
blonde. Yeah. Mexican Muslim ISIS members flood over the border with Ebola bombs. And you see, that's how it starts.
Yeah.
Gay marriage, Ebola.
Gay Ebola.
That's right, yeah.
I was talking to Cero. That's how it happens.
Gay Ebola. Yeah.
He got infected as a young kid then.
By the gay, not the Ebola.
Yeah, you know. Both are lifelong conditions, but one is
makes short. The life a lot shorter.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the gay.
Just to clarify, it's not the gay.
We're not saying that gays are inoculated against Ebola. It is possible to have both at the same time. But then again, I mean, that'd be an awesome superpower. Maybe that's what happens when we get all 50. We're inoculated against Ebola. We can go and, you know, fuck a bunch of Africans and be perfectly safe.
That doesn't protect us against.
And I don't say that racistly. I say that because
that's
where all the fucking Ebola is, with the exception of like two people.
And one of them died. Yeah.
So in the who was I talking to about this the other day that we were all like. It was Tuesday night, I think. And Sable and Tyrion were talking about this. That apparently the cop or somebody that had shown up at the apartment of the guy that was taken to the hospital for Ebola,
mm-hmm.
like he suspected that he had been exposed to Ebola because he was in the apartment or something like that. And he did not go to a hospital. Ideally, he would have gone to the hospital where the patient was because obviously they're already dealing with this shit, you know.
And they don't want to expose it to anybody else.
Right, and they could quarantine them all together. You know, second, ideally, he would have gone to a hospital. Not ideally, he went to a walk-in care clinic. And I guess just sat in a waiting room next to other people that just had a fucking ear infection or a stubbed toe. And it was like, hi, you know.
I've got Ebola.
I'm Joe. I might have Ebola. You know? Like, Ebola what? No. Ebola. Like, the virus. I'm like, what a fucking idiot. It turned out he didn't test positive for it, well, which is good.
Because he's a fucking idiot.
You know, and, you know, I actually might have seen it on... No, I'm well, sure
I know I saw something person. About it, but...
Yeah.
It's just like, what a dumbass.
Seriously.
Yeah, I don't know. Crazy, crazy, crazy. What else is going on in the world?
Gays and Ebola.
Mostly. Gays and Ebola and...
People killing each other in the Middle East. That's... Copy and pasted from the last 4,000 years.
Yeah. Crazy motherfuckers in the Middle East claim the other side has a wrong interpretation of God, kills each other.
Oh, you know, something interesting did actually happen. I have not listened to the podcast or watched the episode yet, but like, I don't know why a discussion on Bill Maher's show made the news all of a sudden. He's had controversial discussions on his show since the 90s, but basically his guests... Two of his guests were Sam Harris, who's one of the new atheist authors, and Ben Affleck, who is, I mean, everyone knows who Ben Affleck is, but he's also a very politically active person and has a lot of opinions. And he's very liberal, and he's been a frequent guest on Real Time with Bill Maher in the past. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the three of them fucking got into it. Because, Bill Maher and Sam Harris's point of view is that Islam is fucking evil, and it's a really fucked up, violent religion. And, you know, basically more people that a higher percentage of people that follow that religion actually believe in all the violent, fucked up shit than don't. Mm. You know, unlike, say, you know, Christianity, where, you know, if you draw a picture of Jesus doing something fucked up, your house isn't going to get firebombed. But, you know, if you draw a picture of their prophet sucking a dick or something like that, they'll declare a fatwa on you. And, well, good luck with me. I'm already fat. But
yeah.
And Ben Affleck's point of view was, no, that's racist and that's Islamophobic. And, you know, not all Muslims, basically. You know, you can't just paint an entire group with a brush like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of saying, well, that's true. But in this case, the numbers kind of back us up. Like, it's not a racist opinion. It's an actual fact. But apparently, from what I read, Affleck, like, was, like, butting in and talking over people and kind of being a dick about it, which is a disappointment because... He's been enjoyable on Real Time before. Mm-hmm. And but this, you know, and normally I would think this wouldn't make the news, you know, because politically charged, often controversial discussions are what happens all the time on Real Time with Bill Maher. But this actually made CNN, and like Sam Harris wrote a big response article about it and everything. Like, apparently this was like super controversial or something. I don't know if I really consider it any more or less controversial than anything other episodes of the show, but are you reading about it now, Severin?
Yeah, I'm looking at the Sam Harris's blog because I'm like, I hadn't heard of this.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of stuff passes me by right now, but
yeah,
I'm just like kind of...
Han is eating your life?
Just a bit.
I happened to see the link on CNN, and I watched a clip of the video.
I didn't even see anything about it on Twitter or anything, so...
Yeah, it's on Bill Maher and Sam Harris's Twitters, which I hadn't been following Sam Harris, but Bill Maher retweeted his link to his article, basically. You know, and I don't know. I'm not a fan of religion in general, so.
Yep. Well, I'm on the record for not giving a shit, so.
Yeah. I don't give a fuck.
I just hate an entire religion getting pigeonholed like that. You know, it's. It just bothers me greatly when you paint an entire group, whatever it is, by the actions of a few, when there's millions and millions and millions of very peaceful Muslims who don't, you know, go out and try and kill people. They might be disapproving, but they're not, you know, that they're painting.
I'd say read even, Sam Harris's blog, because yeah, I actually, think he has a lot of rules.
He points out that, like, he very clearly distinguished between jihadists, Islamists, conservatives, and the rest of the Muslim community, and explicitly exempted hundreds of millions of Muslims who don't take the doctrines about blasphemy, apostasy, jihad, and martyrdom seriously. Like, he says that right there, and, I mean, he has, like, the video on YouTube available for people to look at it, so...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm obviously not going to look at it right now because we're recording the show. And I don't think it would work very well on this iPad. It's kind of old as shit.
Yeah, mine's the same.
So it's kind of like, all right, well, I mean, that's...
My hand's falling asleep. So.
You know, shake it out a little.
And it was like, yo, I'm here to promote my new book. And apparently Ben Affleck went like...
Ape shit on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, basically, like, and you can hear this on the podcast, and I rarely ever see the, actually, I don't ever see the video, so, but when the next guest comes out, there's, like, that little interlude where Bill is just talking to that person, and then that new person joins the panel for the latter half of the show, and usually nobody jumps in and interrupts or has a comment, because that's basically a one-on-one interview segment, but the other people are still... There. Physically there. And apparently in this case, like, he was interviewing Sam Harris about his new book, and Affleck was like jumping in and interrupting him in like a segment that it was not like the open debate segment of the show. That was like the next segment. So it just seemed, from what I read about it, it just sounds like it was, he was very, you know, rude and unprofessional.
Whatever. It's,
I have a generally negative opinion of religion anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, like, pay any attention to Bill Maher. He's kind of just, like, a person. He has a show, but I don't pay attention.
It's like this guy, you know?
He's just this dude. So it's, like, whenever it's whatever generated drama of the week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Sometimes he's actually oddly a little too left for me. Like, he says some shit that I just don't agree with. And, you know, I don't know, I guess I'm more slightly center left, but I mostly agree with a lot of what he says. Well, so what he says,
consider that, you know, we are fairly liberal for being Texans, which makes us like fascists elsewhere. I would not, like, really, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
I was going to say, yeah, but I'm not
even
really.
Even fairly liberal Texans.
I'm not Texan, though. Neither Shiva. You're the only real Texan.
But you live here and you're immersed in the culture and you kind of have that thing.
I'm immersed in the culture of furry faggotry.
Yes.
Where apparently we're conservatives.
What?
Yeah.
Well, we've had that feedback before.
That
from
we're conservative?
People. That we're, because, you know, my general feeling is, leave the ears and the tail at home when you go out to a restaurant and shit like that. And don't fucking fursuit anywhere you goddamn please, unless you, like, get the owner's permission or something if you're going to do it at a, you know, we're like, the guy got arrested or not arrested, but he got kicked out of the mall, fursuiting in the mall. And everyone was like, down with the system, man. Fuck the haters. Fursuit where you want. And my reaction is, you fucking idiot. You know, that's considered conservative by the furry populace, I guess.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, it's weird.
Maybe it's just responsible adult. I don't know.
Yeah, that's conservative. That's conservative to the 18-year-olds listening to us, I guess.
You shouldn't wear ears and a tail and a My Little Pony bracelet to a job interview.
You say that. Almost like that's not a hypothetical example.
I'm sure it's not.
He's smiling, so.
I also have a really good way of just saying it very deadpan.
So. Okay. I was like, now, do you wish to publicly shame some brony?
No. Though apparently there was, actually, this was something I saw, it was on Tumblr. It was some dude wore, like, he went to a job interview and he was wearing, like, a My Little Pony bracelet like they sell at Hot Topic, with like a character or face on it or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't get the job, and he was crying about job discrimination is because he's a brony. Like, maybe you shouldn't be wearing
inappropriate, non-professional, whatever.
I'm going to go hang myself with my microphone cable.
Oh, please don't do that. Tyrion might get mad.
Yeah.
He would, you know, I mean, hey, he could have that, you know, $1 million life insurance policy out on.
Yeah, he would not have to worry about not being able to divorce me.
Yeah. You know, but then you'll be forever married, so he can't ever remarry.
God. But, you know, I've seen...
A man and a man for life. Or else.
Unless he has the operation.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen with him. But I've seen comments online and stuff like that, you know, from people that are like, I don't care what anyone thinks of me. I'm going to have my tattoos and shit all over my face and my hair all fucked up and wear whatever I want. And, you know,
it's really interesting.
If they don't want to give me a job, then fuck them, man.
Which is, if you can get into the right industry, that'll fly. The vast majority of the world is not the right industry for you.
I'm sorry. I did not realize I had slipped into a kids these days sort of semi-rant.
Kids these days.
Get off my lawn.
I shouldn't get into a rant here. This isn't Twitter.
Let me get you an onion for your belt.
What?
Yeah, that went over my head, dude.
It's a Simpsons reference.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that one. Maybe that was a later era Simpsons reference. But, yeah. Anything else going on and y'all want to talk about before we read our two emails, one of which is a Tumblr?
In the saga of She Was Moving, I may be moving again.
Yay. Oh, God.
Well, in the saga of... So, when we last left our intrepid heroes... So we bitched their corporate office, and we got, for the most part, some very bland platitudes back.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
are you enjoying your accent, Wall?
So they...
Does it have a Scottish accent? That might be worth it.
So they emailed
us... It's painted tartan, I'm sorry.
You're not helping, Fuzz.
I know. Okay.
They emailed us back, well, there's another one. They don't seem to listen. They either... We keep saying we want... this floor plan in this building, let us know when it's open. That's not that hard to understand. That's the only thing we've been asking for. Mm-hmm. They keep coming back, well, we have this apartment in another building. That's not the right floor plan. That's not the right building. Well, we've got this in this building. Okay, right building, and we've already said no to that floor plan 5 times. You know, they keep coming back with us with not what we asked for. Apparently, let us know when one comes available is too hard for them.
Well, how many apartments in that building have that floor plan?
4.
Hmm.
So, one of which is the apartment complex manager.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not coming up anytime soon.
Move, bitch. Y'all fucked up.
So, they finally came back with us and they offered us another one in that building. Offered it slightly earlier than the panic-inducing one move that we were going to have to do before. But it's at a floor plan, again, that we weren't super thrilled when we last looked at it 14 years ago. Keep in mind, 14 years ago. Mm. So we're like, okay, we'll go take a look at it. Sarah's never seen it. And it's basically, can we go back? Can we see ourselves where we can fit everything in this apartment? And if so, then we'll work around it, and we'll make it work just because that way we get a clean, completely turned over apartment.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're going to be paying a higher rate for something halfway done. And I'm like, I really don't want it. What I would love if we couldn't get is to somehow get our current apartment turned over with us still in it, but that's fucking impossible. There's no way to do everything in that apartment with people still living there. And it'd be one thing if we lived on the bottom floor, but we don't. And I'm not hauling shit up and down that stairs. So we might be moving. We will find out on Saturday, because Saturday we're going to walk the demo of that floor plan and make a call, yes or no, mm-hmm. or just end up renewing. But it's driving me batty because I've been halfway between moving and not moving for like 3 weeks, which point I've been geared to take care of shit. Yeah. And then I got to take everything I've already put in a box back out of a box. It's like, fuck, I don't want to unpack.
I hate uncertainty like that. That always sucks.
Are we moving? Are we not moving? Are we moving? Fuck, we're not moving. Oh, yeah. We're moving again.
Especially when it's like a big project like that and you all have work in the meantime and shit going on.
Yeah. So we spent last weekend tearing apart. Sarah, when he moved in, was moved in quite a bit of a hurry. Didn't have any time to really organize him. And in fact, his ex ended up just kind of bringing his stuff over without any kind of sorting. It all got thrown in the closet 2 years ago.
Mm.
And the closet has been slowly avalanching out with all of this stuff that's just been heaped in there. And every time we go to look at it, it's like, oh, fuck, I don't really want to deal with that.
Mm.
And to close up the closet. So we had that nice, cool Saturday last weekend. Mm. And Sarah's got a really bad dust allergy. So I waited for a nice, cool Saturday. I threw up. Opened every window in the place and made sure I had fans pulling stuff through so maybe he wouldn't just fucking die.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, we cleared out and we threw out so much shit. I mean, what was overflowing is just kind of, you know.
Don't show her stuff right now.
Yeah, she's trying to talk in word. I was mentioning the brony aren't really oppressed thing. But finish your story and I'll read.
We went from overflowing, like stuff, so that when you shut the door, you had to kick stuff back in and push shut the door in order to get anything in and out of this closet, to like six banker boxes on along one wall, a couple of like empty, you know how you hold on to like video card boxes and such like that?
Yeah.
At least until the warranty's out. A couple of those and some stuff along the top shelf and like half a rack of clothes. And we've gone from, like, tsunami to, like,
salami. Nothing. I don't know.
It's like, well, I don't know if we're moving or not, because this was before they offered us. But, goddamn, we've got space again.
Yeah. Well, either way, shit needs done. It's always a good time to, I guess, go through, do spring cleaning or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Winter cleaning.
Usually.
Fall cleaning.
Usually moving is when everything gets thrown out.
Yeah.
Like, if I don't want to haul it upstairs in another apartment, it's like, toss, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, fuck, stairs. You're not worth carrying upstairs. Goodbye.
Yeah.
So.
No more stairs.
I wish. This new place is going to be on the second floor again. Fuck me.
Oh, even,
Yeah.
Dope.
On the other hand, it's down back still by the nice pool, so.
Yeah.
A nice, I mean, quiet pool that isn't plagued by children.
There's pros and cons. I mean, is it a third, three-floor building?
No, it's just a second floor.
Okay, so I mean, you have the pro then of not having anyone above you. You know, you can be the Minotaurs on the roof instead of having the Minotaurs on your roof.
Yeah, and but on the other hand, you don't get the protection from the heat that you get on the first floor. On the other hand, I can open up my windows at night with this design, whereas I can do that on a first floor. Yeah.
Like I said, pros and cons.
Yeah, bros and cons.
No, pros and cons.
Oh, I thought you said...
No.
I'm sorry, I thought you were being funny. My mistake.
I'm like, no, I did not say bro. Ugh. No, no, I guess I just mumbled.
You mumbled?
Mumbled, yeah.
Okay.
My tongue went numb or something. Okay. I'm going to read this short Tumblr. And then we can make Savern read the long email, unless you want to tackle
not
it.
Me.
Unless you want to tackle it. You guys can go halvesies. There's enough of it.
No, he can do it, and we'll save ourselves all some time and headache.
Okay. All right. Anonymous asked a question. I remember this one. This is an easy one to answer. Okay. Has there been any demographics done on any of the cons, such as medium age and other things? I would be considered a grafer and have, which is not actually a thing. and have been in and out for years. I know that the age, from what I can tell, is late teens and mid-20s. I would love to go back to a con, but do not want to be considered the creepy old man. What advice can you offer other than trying to get on staff? Where I am located at, we have no local cons, and I would have to travel several states to one. Thanks. But the question is that how old actually are you is one thing. There actually have been a lot of studies done on this. There's Savard, what's the name of that big one?
The furry study.
Well, that's one. Is that the woman's name? Is it Kerbasi or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. I just Googled the furry study, but this is a team. Is this the same one I'm thinking of? That's a team from Canada that have gone to several states and done interviews and stuff at various conventions and interviewed a bunch of people.
I'm not sure if the group that we have come to Fiesta is related.
Actually, I'm looking at it here. It's the furry survey. The Furry Fiesta 2014 data is the most currently posted data.
Mm. Oh, so that is them then.
So it has.
Excuse me.
So you mean Nuka, and on those guys?
Yeah. I'm trying to find the.
The average age is trending a little younger. I mean, so technically a gray muzzle by some con book standards is 30 and older,
should be 50.
It's kind of on the younger side. So I mean, if you're in your 30s or 40s, there's still a shitload of people. It does trail off after that. You know, there's less people in their 50s, a little less people in their 60s and beyond. I think you're still going to find plenty of people that are over the age of their mid-20s at a con, though.
Most of my friends.
most of my friends, too. I know quite a range of people, and you know, a lot of them are not the teen to mid-20 demographic that a lot of the newer furs are. So there are going to be a lot of people there. Clogged up there. There's going to be people there to hang out with. It also kind of depends which con you go to. You know, you go to a larger con, you have a large population of people. You know, there's a larger possibility of finding people in your age group to hang out with. If you go to a small con, then, you know, it may be mostly the younger folks. I don't know. Depends what area and what cons you're looking at.
And what's kind of active in that particular region.
Yeah, because some people, it's like the older people that are active, and that's how the con gets started. Sometimes it's the younger people that are super active, and they form the majority of the convention. What were you trying to find? Were you trying to find the average age on there?
Yeah, I'm looking at the...
Last I heard, I thought it was like 22 or 23.
Yeah. I'm just looking at some of the data that they pulled up and like how apparently their information... This is something that actually Shiva could probably attest to, being, you know, a woman and all. So, how do female furry... This is some of their data they pulled. It's like, how do female furries enter the furry fandom, and with whom do they interact? Given that the furry fandom is predominantly male, 80 to 85% male, the fandom itself may seem by female furries as an unwelcoming place, despite the fandom's values of openness and inclusivity. Based on prior research on norms, which has been found that women often feel unwelcome in predominantly male fields such as mathematics, computer science, or engineering, which, as a result, may perpetuate their male-dominated nature. With this in mind, we are interested in testing whether female furries feel a similar way towards the furry fandom. One hypothesis arising from this theorizing is that female furries may need a way to get their foot in the door as a way of validating their presence in a male-dominated fandom. Some evidence was found for this. While 90.5% of female furries indicated their own interest in furry played a major role in their decision to become involved, 45% also indicated that their relationship partner played a major role in introducing them, and 57.1% indicated that a friend introduced them to the fandom. That's more than 100%.
Yeah, some might have a combination of...
That's true, but still.
Math!
Perhaps unsurprisingly, data suggests the female to the fandom are more likely to identify with other female furries than with male. But is it interesting... This is the interesting part, which this is something you can talk about, I guess. Sexism, the discrimination or differential treatment of someone on the basis of their sex, can take a number of forms, ranging from blatant, hostile sexism to far more subtle, systemic, or even unintentional forms of sexism. being overly nice to someone based on their sex, neglecting to include or acknowledge members of a particular sex. Importantly, the issues of sexism may be overlooked in the fandom because of its predominantly male nature, making it all the more important to seek out the perspective of women in the fandom through targeted focus groups. Several questions address different issues surrounding sexism and perceived gender norms in the furry fandom. 81% of female furries indicated they felt moderately to strongly that furry fandom was a boys' club.
Yeah, it's somewhat, especially if it can feel almost like not only a boys' club, but, and I found this in other areas, the presence of so many gay males, a lot of females just, they don't have a ton of necessarily use for. I mean, and I hate to say it, but that's kind of like it is. It's like, I can't fuck it. Or I don't want to fuck it. I feel no urge to fuck it. So I have a conversation with it. You know?
Your vagina has no power here.
That's kind of how it is. It's like there is a lot of heavy, not necessarily sexual tension, but a lot of also needy romance kind of in lonely furs.
So the 33% of the heterosexual furry male furry heterosexual population is, like, dragging you down there. Okay.
No, not even that. I mean, I'm just saying that that's...
But that's what the numbers say, Shiva.
It can kind of feel like you're trying to break into a crowd that doesn't really have any interest in you being there. And it's because, you know, a lot of them are looking for partners or romantic or sexual, and you're not in that field of view.
Here's an interesting... One something early, further up kind of jumped out at me. Unintentional forms of sexism, e.g. being overly nice to someone based on their sex. Is that sexism? I mean, it can be seen as kind of white knighty, neckbeardy, you know, I'm a nice guy, look at me, le fedora, m'lady. But...
Well, it's Tumblr sexism.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think it's how the rest of the world defines it.
Yeah, that just seems really weird.
Or, you know...
Because some women really hate it when guys open a door for them, and some don't. And I hold a door open for whoever is behind me, regardless of gender. So it's interesting. I can't see getting really upset about that one way or the other. You know?
I mean, we should, you know, we're both dudes, Fuzz and I, so I mean, it's kind of like...
Well, it can also be more like giving someone preferential treatment over somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, again, if you're a woman and you're trying to do something, and again, it wraps around to, you know, dudes preferring other dudes, and yeah, okay, they get the nod or whatever. I think that might be where it's someone's being too nice, not because they themselves are being the ones on the reception of this, but necessarily they're not being given the same amount of attention or whatnot. So there's that swing. So there's what you have, the whole false chivalry or even real chivalry. And then there's also exclusion, or even if they're not being unfriendly to someone, if they're being more, you know, giving the nod and the wink to someone else based on their looks. I mean, take away the sex part of it, but again, looks. What is your... Hey, phone!
Okay.
But yeah, so if someone's get... If you take away from that the gender facet and someone's just getting a better treatment because of the way they look, you know, then, yeah, that can be frustrating, too.
You did that, I'll let...
Was it an alarm?
No, it was a call.
Oh, okay.
And leave a voicemail.
I don't know if you saw my tweet about, you know, does Bob refer to his son as my baby?
Oh, God. he said that if the kid's first words are m'lady, I'm going to die.
What?
Did I told you that anecdote, right? So
no.
I'm helping him move.
Oh, no, I haven't heard an anecdote about this.
Okay, so this is really funny.
Okay.
So I, and I'll go back to this in a minute.
Okay.
So, for his birthday, his wife took their daughter to the store and let her pick out something for daddy.
Okay.
and she went to the shelf and picked up a black trilby.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And he's never worn a trilby, will never wear a trilby. That's not his thing. And, I mean, we all know trilbies and fedoras and the general thing are now very frowned upon by most people. Which is kind of a shame. I mean, it's just a hat, but, you know.
Yeah, but woven into the fibers of the hat are Ebola.
Yes. So she was running around with it on her head. And I was like, hey, can you do this? And I showed her
a hat tip.
Tip the fedora.
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, now can you say m'lady? She goes, m'lady. Okay, now go show daddy what I did. Go show daddy what I showed you. And she very dutifully walks around holding her little hat, walks up front to her dad, and goes, m'lady. And I hear him like, Jesus Christ, did you just make my 3-year-old say what I think you told her to say?
What is that from? The whole...
Just the m'lady. It's the fedora tip. It's the false chivalry of the nice dude, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's become the new... It's the new Tumblr insult for white guys with beards.
Oh.
But, you know, it's the... Anybody that kind of says m'lady is viewed with distrust, and the fact that I got his 3-year-old daughter to go and tip her hat and say, m'lady.
Oh my God, that's great. I didn't know that. No, you hadn't told me that. That's so funny.
I almost was killed, but then he realized that he'd have to do the con by himself. And then,
and you're right. Mercifully spared.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Well, his hands are around your neck.
I'll get off this ride somehow.
No, I think the people that actually do say that are fucking idiots.
Yeah.
But it's become this caricature that doesn't exist, you know.
Yeah.
Along with like
now I have seen a dude, honest to God, go up to a female cosplayer and say, "Excuse me, m'lady, can I take a photo of you?" He did it. He did ask for consent when taking a photo, but he said m'lady at a con in front of me, and I had to eat my entire fist to not bust out laughing.
Well, it's not as fat as it used to be.
I know. It's a good thing these prosthetics are just so amazing. So there are people that say that. There was not a fedora on his head, but there may have been one in his heart.
You should have had one on a stick and just sort of lowered it onto his head.
Yeah, get one of those little grippy claw things.
Yes, yes.
Pile of hats, just like, this is for you. Sorry, we've got way off track.
Yank off his badge and be like, now get the fuck out.
No, this is an Akon.
Oh, okay. Well, you're technically employed by Akon now.
Anyways, so another one said, where is it?
The only other email in
box. No, I'm looking at the issues in the women thing.
Oh, like, right.
I mean, other stuff's like female furries. 50% said female furries said that when hanging out with other furries, they're often reminded of their sex. Okay.
Not really, but okay.
48% stated the words or actions of other furries remind them of their sex. Hey. You're female.
Last I checked.
I mean, I can understand it if they're like, oh yeah, wait, you're a girl, you wouldn't understand. That's just douchebaggery. I could see that.
Yeah. That's the thing, is that it's a very nonspecific question. I mean, I'm like, I know it's a survey and it's, you know, a distillation of like hundreds of people's opinions, but I'm like, in what way is what I'm curious about, you know?
85% of female furries indicated they wish there was more female furries in the fandom. All right, yeah.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
That makes sense.
More diversity is a good thing.
Yeah, and well, if you want to go diversity-wise, furry fandom's pretty goddamn white. But not as white as it used to be.
I've seen black people.
Yeah, like I said, it's not as not diverse as it used to be.
Actually, yeah, I have actually noticed more diversity in the last few years at all the cons I go to than it used to be. Very just one. Are you okay?
Yeah, I was going to ask if I could borrow your iPad to look for.
Oh, yeah, sure.
My phone's being a derp.
Oh, okay. 19% of female furries expressed concerns they did not belong in the furry fandom because of their sex.
You know, I understand where that comes from, and that's depressing, you know, because I have to go back to like sort of an earlier topic, and I know this is anecdotal, but I've seen my share of ew vagina comments on FA and
a ton of them, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and like one of my commissions that I got recently was a male-female commission, and like in one of the comments was, oh, I thought it was a guy at first, and like sad face, you know, and it was the guy that had written in and given us a bunch of shit about you when you started talking about ponies on the show.
Oh,
so I knew he was a douchebag anyway, and I just kind of had to lol. I was like, oh god, he's fucking heterophobic as well. That's great.
It's like
and you know, yeah, and I've seen comments like that all the time. You know, this would be better if it was a guy. I don't know if I would count this next thing as just outright misogyny, but like at the time Zausch drew a really hot picture of a bunch of bucks fucking a doe in a bar.
Yeah, I've seen
and
that one.
She was bent over the table. And somebody photoshopped it around to turn it into a male, to make it a gay picture. And he was like, don't fuck around with my artwork like that. If I wanted to do that, I'll do it myself, you know. He could add a food layer like every fucking pony artist if he wanted to, you know. But, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, There's 80 million fucking male pictures on Fur Affinity to fap to. You can't deal with the fact that there's like this handful of straight pictures.
You know?
A lot of people don't have a problem with it. I can tell you. I try to have, you know, a lot of straight stuff and a lot of gay stuff in my adult side of my catalog. And, you know, we have quite a few straight customers now, you know, they'll come up and they'll buy cat ass stuff. They'll buy the sexy fur art book, all the Sampikos art books.
Smart business.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that to like plug my business or anything, but there's a lot of people out there that appreciate female furry art, you know, and you've got all the bisexuals, you know, and then you're one third of hetero male furries.
Yeah, so I mean that's a good, you know, two-thirds of the fandom.
It's not like, you know, liking women is an extreme minority in the fandom. You just see a lot of bitchiness sometimes.
A lot of bitchy queens.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna have to chalk that up to most furries, as you know, this actually trails all the way back to the start of the email that got us started on this massive train of what the fuck.
Right, yeah.
As the average age of furries is still pretty young.
Right, there.
And I know when I was 21 to 24, I was a retard.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is. You think you know what the fuck you're doing and you don't.
Yeah.
And you get better. And part of that, I mean, I never went through a phase where, like, ew, vagina. I mean, I'm pretty bisexual, especially when it comes to, like, my porn preferences. And, you know, I'm game for whatever, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and so, you know, I never had that phase, but I know that there's those kids that go ultra gay.
Right, and, yeah. You know, and then you get into furry, which is a very
ultra gay
and welcoming of being ultra gay fandom. And you go super mega ultra gay, you know,
your
and then hair you're
is
like,
blonde.
Yeah, and then you become all, ew, chicks.
Super gay.
Have you encountered any of that shit? I mean, I know, apart from like seeing like the FA comments and
not
stuff like
to my
that.
Face, no.
No. So no one's really giving you shit for being a woman in the fandom?
Not especially, no.
What about in the, because you've been involved in some of the larger sci-fi community, right? Like, you've done Star Trek cons and stuff like that in the past.
Well, I did a couple mixed fan, you know, mixed
okay.
genre cons.
Because I was wondering if you'd had any kind of, like, negativity in, like, the larger sci-fi no. fantasy kind of...
No, I do know that the trope is still true, that it's harder to get published as a woman author.
Really?
Yeah.
Especially sci-fi, and especially fantasy, mm-hmm. and especially hard sci-fi.
God, because, like, you know, when I think sci-fi fantasy authors, and a lot of people come to mind, but I think of, like, Elizabeth Baer and Mercedes Lackey, mm-hmm. Anne Rice, and, like,
Ursula K. Le Guin.
Off the top of my head, yeah. Off the top of my head. Yeah, that's like five people just like that. I think of like some really big names.
But if
I guess overall, it's...
Yeah, not well, as good. Keep in mind that that's also a lot of those are fantasy, not a larger hard sci-fi.
Right. Yeah.
You can usually get kind of the fluffier, softer fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
You can get published more easily. Or if you're into the supernatural, like werewolves.
The urban urban fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
The name and surname indicate what they are.
Yeah.
Ravinna Darkblade. Oh, she's a vampire hunter.
Yeah.
Ashley Wolfsbane. Oh, she's a werewolf hunter.
Yeah. That genre
Tanya, is... Tanya Corpsefucker.
It's actually a lot harder to break into if you're a guy and writing that.
Yeah.
So you can use the pseudonyms for...
Yeah.
You know, either if you have an androgynous name or you use a pen name as a female writer, or sometimes you go by your initials, which if I get published, I would first submit it underneath my initials.
Yeah.
Rather than...
She's actually
CJ Cherry Woman?
Yep.
Yeah.
She actually, is. An interesting turnaround to this, Mitch Larson, mm-hmm. the Pony Rider lead story director for the first half of season 5, he just released a book called Pinarello Academy, which is young readers fiction targeted primarily for girls. The reason he goes by the initials M.A. Larson in most of his stuff is because he's a dude writing children's and young readers' stories.
Yep.
Yeah. And even since Pony, he's done that as M.A. Larson because people are okay with that. You know, I guess they just assume woman. Yeah.
Now, what's interesting is Anne McCaffrey did do some sci-fi. I don't know if it was hard sci-fi, but I was trying to...
It's borderline. It really is.
Mm. That's the nice thing about being a furry publisher is when Fluff Muffins approaches me and submits a story, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, you know, or anything else. I'm just going to kind of base it on the submission. I mean, off the merits of the story itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to find out later when I'm like, I need your legal name and your address and send out the contract and everything like mm-hmm. that. And, you know, and even then, you know, you never know. But
especially some of them can be ambiguous anyways.
Right. You can never be sure, but that doesn't even come up.
I'm looking at Anne McCaffrey's bibliography now that we brought it up, because I've read all of her Pern books.
Mm-hmm.
The first one being a very dog-eared copy of The White Dragon that I got for a quarter at Goodwill.
Yeah.
And that start me down a very long path of reading.
She did Crystal Song, Crystal Singer. She did The Ship Who Sang.
She has
the various talent series, the Rowan.
The Baroque Cats, the Tower on the High series.
Powers That Be.
The Powers and the Twins of Pettaby. Freedom series, the Four Freedom novels. She wrote Arcorna, other works. I'm impressed. She was an amazing author and an amazing woman, but sadly she died.
Well, she...
2011.
She's the reason I'm with Siam, so...
Okay.
You know, we both loved her novels, and that's how we met on that community.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And her estate is called Dragonhold Underhill.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
I've not read any of her work. I know she was pretty much a legend.
Well, she also had, you know, she had female protagonists in her stories back in, like, 60s and 70s.
That wow.
You know, serious characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dragon Song featured the
Manali.
Manali, and she becomes like one of the first female harpers, which is like the lore keepers of that world. It's pretty cool. But anyways, and the last little bit, and then we'll just go on to the next deal, because there's
I was going to throw something else on there, but
okay, go ahead. Is the fandom getting better or worse? 71% of the fandom believe the fandom was getting better, while a small minority, 4.2%, said they felt the fandom was generally getting worse. Seems like a really weird question to ask, honestly.
I think it's a... I'm glad they asked it, because, like, I mean, going back to the 90s, you have the whiners, the burned furs, assholes, and stuff like that. People have been doing the fandom is going to hell in a handbasket routine for a lot longer than I've been in the fandom. And people are still doing it today. And it's funny, like, even when it comes to, like, furry literature, people are like, I've seen some comments where people have been like, furry literature is the worst it's ever been. And I'm like, the fuck are you talking about? We've got, so many opportunities now, and so many new books and stories are being released compared to, you know, 20, 30 years ago when we had maybe, like, one guy printing his own books or something. And, you know, shit has gotten so much better and so much more professional. And, I mean, you know, even though I'm not into it, you know, look at shit like fursuits and fursuit technology and how...
Fursuits and fursuit accessories.
Yeah, and just how many improvements and innovations fursuit makers have come up with over the years.
That,
you know?
Raptor fursuit at RMFC, that was fucking amazing.
Yeah. Was that the dude that, like, walked sideways down the aisles? His wingspan?
No. It was, an actual, honest-to-goodness, scientifically similar, scientifically accurate raptor.
Yeah.
They had, the balanced tail and the big claws, and they would digitate.
You know, fucking, you didn't have fucking fiber optic tails and fiber optic fursuits back in the day, and, you know, people doing all the, the cooling vests and stuff like that and everything.
Well, it's only a matter of fucking time before people just, make a full HUD helmet and have, cameras in the fucking eyes of their fursuits. They don't even have to worry about looking out the eyes. It's just a fucking screen in front of their face.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Iron Man shit.
You could probably do that now.
Yeah.
It would just take probably a lot of money and a lot of skill.
Hell, just wire up a fucking Oculus Rift headset. It's going to be low res, but shit.
Yeah, I don't know how that works, so I can't really comment on that. But I'm just saying, holy fuck, everything in the fandom has gotten so much better than it was, 20, 30 years ago. But the naysayers have been around that entire time. So it's actually really nice to see that the naysayers were such a tiny minority of the overall people polled.
I mean, the fandom is, it's continuing to grow. The big cons are growing. And cons in general in the furry community are growing.
Mm-hmm.
I've, aside from maybe one or two, I've not heard of any declining.
Yeah.
And,
it's rare. Overall, the health of our convention economies are strong.
And, there's more books. There's way more comics.
Yeah.
Catering to, whatever.
Artists are making a living off their artwork, and making a living
things
off of furry artwork.
Man.
Yeah, yeah.
We still need to get that new art, so maybe we can set up a Patreon. See if there's some suckers that'll give us $4 a month, might be able to buy a cup of coffee. If we get four fuckers to give us $1 a month, we'll order a cup of coffee and share it.
So what I was going to say was Renee Carter Hall tweeted a link to a thread that was on Fur Affinity.
Okay.
And she was like, wow, this is really depressing. And I went and read it, and I was like, yeah, a lot of this thread is really depressing. And it was about a woman that had gone to a furry convention, and, some creeper had kept following her around, had followed her back to her room, and, she had flat out told him to fuck off, and, he wouldn't take that as a non-hint, had told staff, not much came of that, and had said that, based on her experience, she did not feel comfortable going to furry cons anymore. And I was like, man, that really sucks. Because, to me, I've always had this awesome experience at conventions and the community and you know, the creativity and everything, and it's this great space. And I hate that this one asshole has basically denied somebody this because he's made them so uncomfortable that she doesn't feel that she can go to a con and not be harassed. And that's really fucked up.
Yeah, and speaking as people who are involved in cons, I mean, they fucked up on that end too.
Yeah. And they didn't name names. They didn't say what con it was or anything like that.
Probably for the best.
You know, and of course the first response was something like, well, you shouldn't have gone to the con alone.
Really?
Really?
I shit you not. That was the first response.
If I hadn't gone to my first furry cons by myself, I wouldn't be involved in this shit. I went to A-Con on my fucking own.
But, you know,
when I was 14.
Yeah, it's one thing that, you know, if I don't want to get robbed or anything, I mean, I'm not going to go down dark alleys at night or anything like that. But it's fucking crazy to think that somebody can't go to a furry convention and think, oh, no, I should bring a guy with me for protection.
That's bullshit.
And people called her out. It was actually a woman that replied, you know. And people called her out on her bullshit. And she's like, no, you guys aren't living in the real world. You really need to always have a guy around you to protect you or prevent situations like this.
That's
or just like, that's fucking ridiculous. Yeah, I'm like, sorry.
Isn't that premise generally, really an anti-feminist stance because you're relying on
number one,
dude?
It's an anti-feminist stance. I mean, number two, it's definitely a she had it coming or you shouldn't dress like that kind of point of view. But also,
you shouldn't have had that vagina at a furry con.
It's a fucking furry con. It has got to be one of the safest environments that I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to say that, oh, you're a woman, you should have brought protection so dudes don't creep on you?
No,
that's fucking ridiculous. And, you know, if that happened at a con that I was on staff at, I mean, I'd be ashamed, you know? And I'd put the message out there that we really need to step up our fucking game big time.
On harassment.
You know, on harassment. And we cannot let this kind of shit pass.
Yeah, and it's interesting, New York Comic Con has taken the cosplay is not consent thing and like made it a big fucking deal. Because, yeah, just because someone's dressed up as Harley Quinn or in a whatever costume doesn't give you the right to grope them, slap their ass, take photos of them, be lewd, don't be be an asshole to them.
Yeah.
AllCon has a very explicit policy on that as well, and we borrowed the verbiage for that for MyCon's harassment policy. So, you know, it's like it slowly but surely it is, there are cons that are taking very strong stances, and you know, the bigger test is going to be enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
That, you know, the cons can posture and say things, but it's a matter of actually handling it and doing it and following up.
Yeah.
And the cons willing to, quote, be the bad guy and maybe put some creeper in his fucking place.
Yeah. You know, and he'll go online and bitch about how such and such con was mean and kicked me out. And, you know, it's like, you know, but you really have to back up the courage of your convictions and be like,
yeah,
hey, you were kicked out for a damn good reason, you know? And yeah, you can't publicly say why, I guess, in that kind of situation, but yeah, that's just gotta, that's a consequence you gotta accept. But sorry, what?
No.
Okay.
Well,
I want to
we've been on this a while. Do we want to move on to that last?
I had a thing I wanted to mention. This is something really cool. I think it's something that actually kind of takes us out of the doldrums a little bit. It is a positive thing that a convention is doing.
Oh.
They're not a furry convention. I don't remember which con this is. I want to say it was like Emerald City Comic Con or something like that, maybe WonderCon. But a friend of mine up in Seattle is a therapist, you know, an honest to God IRL therapist. And he was invited to go to this con with a bunch of other therapists this convention, and it was a sci-fi comic convention, had an area that was like a safe space, quiet space kind of thing. And if you went in there, you were not allowed to be on a tablet. You were not allowed to use a cell phone or anything like that. It was just supposed to be somewhere to kind of get away from the noise and the crowds and everything else and decompress. But here's the thing. They also had several therapists on hand. And therapists are, like my friend was telling me, therapists are trained to look for certain physical signs. You know, you see somebody sitting in a corner and kind of holding themselves or rocking or, you know, signs of trauma, anything like that. And they would go up to them and be like, hey, do you need someone to talk to? Are you okay? Get them a glass of water, you know, and, you know, several times they would actually need to talk to somebody. And, you know, a couple cases of somebody being stalked, somebody being harassed, and, you know, went to get them some help. But this is like a big function space that the con set at their disposal to do nothing but people to go there and de-stress and to have trained professionals there on hand just in case. And I was amazed, frankly, at the, you know, you think the real estate space and the financial commitment on a convention staff to do that. That's really putting your money where your mouth is when it comes to wanting your attendees to feel safe.
Yeah, so that is really cool.
My friend got to do that, and, you know, he said it was a great experience and something that he would definitely do again. So I thought it was just really cool.
I have to look that up.
Video games. That's how video games should be played.
All right, so we are back after we have explained a thing.
Okay.
And so, have you picked up an item, Shiva? You have a dong of choice.
I did, but
let's. I can go back to that in a second. I was going to read the new copy.
Okay.
For the new.
Yes, we have a new deal, guys.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough?
I'd bet you'd love more, right?
Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more.
With 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her.
Air quotes.
A second, a specially selected toy for him. And a third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you want me to keep going? Okay.
Yeah.
Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. Truly the technology of the 20th century.
Digital video disc. Getting porn to you. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard.
Yet.
Yeah. Ooh.
Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire.
I look so pretty.
You will be the prettiest filly at the ball. Just enter our offer code NOT at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out AdamandEve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping when you order it. Use the coupon code NOT. That's KNOT.
Thank you, Shiva. I already have my ticket for that.
AdamandEve.com. Ah, yes. So, yes, we have a new deal with Adam and Eve. Still get free shipping. You get a coupon code NOT, and you get a bunch of bonus stuff.
You're damn right.
No longer does... Basically, you don't get the 50% off anymore. You still get the free shipping, but you get all the extra MacGuffins with it.
The doodads. And
the doodads.
And more MacGuffins.
The widgets.
And porn.
Always the porn.
Always the porn. I mean, holy crap. They love giving you porn. What kind of website is this? What kind of podcast is this? Good red-blooded American men didn't die in foreign soil for this. Wait, they didn't. Never mind. Freedom. Freedom,
I'm
motherfuckers.
Pretty sure they didn't die for dongs being shipped to you in the mail. But, you know.
This is America Cast.
America, fuck yeah.
Episode number 1776, because that's the only number we need.
Episode USA. I stood up and told that teaching lady the only letters I need to know were US and A. So, yeah, adamandeve.com. Check it out.
Buy a dong.
It's a little bit different than our usual. And they just want to see how it goes.
Tell if they get in your butt.
Yes.
Because, I mean, there's many things that can go in any orifice you so desire.
Yeah.
Several times. Once. You but know, exactly you should, six, no more, no less.
You should use lube for some of those orifices.
Yes. Did you know that your some mouth. People had not heard this phrase, everyone's got a butt?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I thought I made that up.
No.
I guess you did, because I said that to somebody the other day and it just blew their fucking mind.
Everybody has an ass.
And they were like, what? Everybody does? But are you denying me?
I see your point. And it turned around and walked away.
Yes.
Were you trying to explain your bisexuality to him with that?
Yeah, it was just like, well, everybody's got a butt. They were just like, and boobs are great.
Oh, jeez. So, our little aside there while we're reading that, Shiva showed me her phone. Something I'd found out about a couple weeks back is, I think we actually talked about this. The episode
I've
that
slept since then. So
it might have been the episode that just Savern and I did.
That might be too.
But it's a WhoFest DFW 2. This WhoFest is their second 2. Year, and they actually have like Colin actual Baker. Guests this year. So they have Colin Baker, the Sixth Doctor. And,
I think last year was mostly just a big watch party.
Yeah, they wanted to do something for the 50th. They threw it together rather quickly. Yeah. They didn't have a guest. I ended up not going. But, yeah, it was just like I think they had panels and they had a dealer's room. And they were going to have a watch party for the 50th special and stuff. And then they took a break this year. But it's coming back in April of 2015. So they they have a doctor as a guest. Nicholas Briggs is going to be there, who is the voice of the Daleks, the Cybermen. He is an exec at Big Finish, so he does a lot of writing and directing and producing with them. Who's the third guest there, Shu? Because I don't know if they've added somebody.
Let me bring it up again.
Okay.
That's good that they're coming back, because they had a gangbuster first year.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, it was better than I remember it being.
They had like 1,500, I think.
Because it's not at the Crown this year. It's actually out at the Irving Convention Center, which is where we went for Dallas Comic Con that one.
They've got year. Nicholas Briggs, Colin Baker, who is, of course, a doctor, and Jason Haig-Ellery.
It's Haig, I think. Jason Haig-Ellery. He is another Big Finish guy. He's one of the executive producers, I think. I recall correctly.
Yeah.
Which I am a huge fan of all the Big Finish Productions stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I throw that out there all the time. You guys should totally check out bigfinish.com if you want like audio plays with the original Doctor Who actors in it and a lot of spin-off stuff and everything as well. It's like really good shit. We don't have a coupon code with them. entering not at checkout will get you funny fuck looks. All.
Now,
possibly an error message.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to go or not. That is Siam's birthday, so.
Is he a big Doctor Who fan?
He didn't grow up with it like I did.
Yeah.
But he watches the new stuff.
Maybe you could talk him into it.
Maybe. I'll see if
he wants. Convention Center looks like a fucking Jawa sandcrawler.
It does, yeah. Except metal and hating cell phones.
I don't think I've gone out there for anything. I know they have like the Comic-Con stuff out there.
Yeah.
But
Savern and I went out there to see John Delancey and Patrick Stewart a couple years ago, which was fun, yeah.
I mean, it's very much a line con.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it was cool.
Way more than furry conventions are. I mean, when you go to Doctor Who or sci-fi or comic convention, you spend a lot of time standing in line waiting to get an autograph, waiting to get a picture, waiting to get into the dealer's room.
Yeah, that's one reason I haven't ever really gone to one. I didn't really fancy standing in line for hours. Yeah.
It depends how big the place is.
We are going to PAX.
Yeah, I know.
That'll be an interesting nightmare.
But there's that's kind of like why I'm not big on Six Flags. I mean, you spend 2 hours waiting in line to go on a roller coaster once, and then woo.
Yeah, that was a nice thing. The one nice thing about living in Florida was
I have a free Saturday. I should go to Six Flags.
You could go.
I have my season pass.
All right.
The best time to go to the parks in Florida is like in either February or November, you know, when none of the out-of-state people are coming, because all the out-of-state tourists show up in the summer when the kids are out of school and they take a family vacation and shit like that. But
and November is Thanksgiving when they're going to each other's families, not to Disney World.
My friends and I would be down there in one of those times, like in the winter sometime when it was only Floridians there, and you could just like walk right up to the fucking ride, basically.
Yeah, it's fucking Fright Fest going on, and they have the multiple haunted houses and shit. I should go.
Yes.
Okay. If I have a weekend free, like a day free.
Yeah.
Good luck. At least not until after Nightmare Nights.
So, PAX South, actually, I bought Tieran a ticket to that because I was like, he's talked about maybe going to PAX someday, and these fucking things are going to sell out fast.
And they did.
I know PAX tickets sells out fast. Well, anyway, he was like, I'm not going to be able to go because, like, his software at work releases that week.
Oh, and he works
he's in development. He's actually like the build manager over that project.
I'm pretty sure PAX passes don't have names on them.
Yeah, they don't.
Well, I need to be able to hand it off to somebody. So I mean,
I've got another one that I need to shed anyway. So
really?
Yeah.
All three of you going?
No, I got four.
Oh, you got four.
I got an extra one because I knew it was going to sell out, and I know I could find somebody to take it.
Yeah.
So I can always look for one for his if you want to.
Did Noxie and Glar have their own tickets already?
Yep, okay. Noxie, Glar, their roommate Faye Wynn, and Saverin's got one. I've got four, so I've got a spare one. I mean, like I said, I'm
all right. We'll
figure it out.
I'm sure I can find somebody to take one or two.
Yeah, we have. So basically, within our group, we have two spares.
Yep.
So
we'll find somebody to take them.
Yeah.
So by the way, folks, if you're looking to go to PAX South.
Send me like $500.
No. But you will pay what I paid for it, though.
Yeah. I'm not going to give it away for free. You know, if I can get the money back.
Yeah.
You can outside the PAX and wave it in the air like you just don't care, and you know, and
scalp it.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably come
up and then just
scalping laws.
If it comes down to desperation, we could probably do that. Get somebody to sell a 3-day pass, you know.
Anyways, so we have one more email, which we probably won't turn into an hour-long conversation like we did that other Tumblr ask.
But it will. I was like, oh, it's a short Tumblr ask. And the answer is yes, studies have been done. That's all we needed to say.
And tangents. Release the Kraken.
That's why we're so good at what we do.
Yeah.
You send us a 2-line.
Tangents. By the way, stop being shitty to women at conventions.
Don't do drugs, kids. Don't abuse women. And just try not to be a jerk, okay? Jesus. Email said, like, just a little lonely. Hey, casters of the knots. I'm sure a lot of guys my age go through this, but I wanted to ask for some advice anyway. I'm 20 and currently unemployed, not for lack of trying. I live in a cluster of three towns with a cumulative population of less than 20,000. My town in particular has less people than AC has fursuiters. I'm not going to school right now. My problem is that I really don't have many friends. I did, but after high school, none of us really talk anymore, and things feel awkward. And others have all moved away for college, and I'm still just here. I was a ward of the state for most of my life, so my entire social life was at school. Now that I'm out of that social setting, how do I make new friends? There isn't much to do around here. The bowling alley and skating rink burned down, and I really don't have the means to travel much. It's also a small Bible Belt town in southern bumfuck. It's not conducive to finding open-minded people who are cool being friends with one of them that are homosexuals. I'd ideally like to get to know a few more gay guys and gals because, well, it's nice talking to someone who isn't trying to push you into going out with a chick or bagging about how much pussy they get, then cringing in terror when you hint you had a sex life, too. So long story short, how do I make friends outside of school? You are in a small rural town in bumfuck nowhere. You're probably going to have to make internet friends or find the other gay in the village.
I mean, that's what I did to get out of my little bumfuck town is I made internet friends, and internet friends, you know, some of them I was able to travel out because I worked at McDonald's. I did not make a lot of money. Yeah, some of them gave me a hand coming out to visit, and some of them I just scraped up my pennies and I drove or I, you know, drew. I used to drive 3 hours to get to Boston in order to catch a flight. So
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I have to say this. Did you shake out your cushions for spare change? Because you're a couch.
Ah, furry humor.
I've had my dumb moment. Please continue.
So, yeah, I started out where you were. I mean, I grew up in a bumfuck little town. Favorite story to tell to try and illustrate this is we had 56 kids in my graduating class. We serviced 7 towns. That is a tiny-ass school. We had maybe 200 kids total across.
Pretty small.
Yeah, 200, 250 kids across all 4 grades in my high school. We were individual. So I lived in one of those 7 small towns. I worked at McDonald's. I made minimum wage. And pretty much I made internet friends. And then internet friends led me to going to internet friends' houses, varying distance away. Sometimes it was just down to Boston. Sometimes it was, you know, flying out to Indiana or busing out to Indiana. Or, you know, I bused from Indiana down to Dallas and back, too, in my very poor days. So that was my out. It probably is going to be your out, too. Just knowing small towns as I know them.
So. Yeah, I mean, you can try to hook, you know, try to get into whatever local furry groups there are. You know, there's usually a lot of state level furry groups, and I'm sure you can probably find somebody who may be a town over or two.
Or,
and
you know,
maybe you can make friends with them, and you know, you get connections into the local overarching group.
And it can be a matter of, okay, well, I'll feed you, come sleep on my couch, and look for a job local to me. Then you leapfrog out of your little town to a larger metropolitan area, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of things you can do, but you have to make the initiative to do that.
And the initial friendships, like, hey,
I'm a furry, and I like things, flags.
And this can, you don't even have to stay in the furry community. Like I said earlier in the podcast, my out, the one where I first started traveling out of my little, you know, northern town, was the Pern fandom and the Pern various games that were on. They're little text-based, you know, moos and muds, and I made friends who didn't live that far away. I made friends who lived a hell of a lot far away. And some of those I was able to scrape up funds to visit. But again, this is not the furry fandom that I started this in. I started this in a completely different genre. And from there, I had some friends that overlapped into furry. And they, you know, showed me onto Tapestry Mucks and Furry Mucks. And from there, I went further on. But, I mean, before that, I had interest in, like, animal people. Didn't know it was a thing. Then I found out, hey, it's a thing. It's a really big thing. And it has tangented me all over the world because of it.
Cool.
So, but I'm just saying, don't limit yourself just to, you know, furry. There's, you know, whatever floats your boat, look in that community. You might find good friends.
Okay, and there's like a further one further paragraph. Oh, and one more thing. I did meet a friend of a friend who is asexual.
Mm-hmm.
Asexual what? I can't English. And no. She told me...
You can't do English.
She told one of my friends that some stuff I said seemed a little insensitive or somewhat homophobic. Now, I grew up 100% sure I was straight, never doubting that until I got a little more than a little drunk and lost my V-card to 2 guys. I know almost absolutely nothing of LGBT-specific etiquette, and I don't want to mistakenly hurt or piss someone off. Any tips for learning?
Internet.
internet, talking to people.
There's a couple. If you just Google asexual, you can...
Well, I mean, not even that. It's just, like...
Google asexual.
Well, I was also going to say it's like you have to have a local group to learn the lingo, you have to have some sort of point of reference. So, like, I fully know that I can say really dumb shit unintentionally sometimes. Because, you know, it's like a concept or something. I'm like, wait, what? And, you know, you're not going to know until you find out.
And you stumble over it.
And, you know, the people that are like, it's not my job to educate you, shit lord. Well, they're not being helpful.
No.
You know, because it, you know, if you're, you know, one of them that are homosexuals in a small bumfuck town, you're not going to know what the dominant LGBT net culture is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to, you're a product of your environment. You know, you're not some mystically enlightened being because you happen to like dick.
Yeah, it takes, they have to be also a little bit willing, you know, find out what you said, then maybe go read a couple of the asexual community websites about, you know, but it also comes down to keep an open mind and when in doubt, keep your mouth shut and listen first and then, you know, go out and read some more on it before you start making passing judgment.
And the lion, like, is better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and be remove all doubt.
Yeah, I love that line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, when in doubt, shut up and listen, and then...
Generally the best idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's...
I think that's about it for tonight.
Yep. And we still got an hour 38 out of two emails, dude.
So...
Damn.
So you've got a con that's about to attack you.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to be able to record next week, or are you going to be, like, ducking and covering?
Probably not.
So
probably
we,
gonna be a hiatus.
Yeah, pick it up after.
Which is fine because I haven't uploaded last week's episode. I've been too busy.
So okay. So pick up post Nightmare Nights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Thursday afterwards, I will be in town.
Yeah.
No. No promises on this, but Kyle and I recorded a Not Sheathed live at Rainforest. I need to ask him what they're doing with that audio.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, if I get that within the next week, then that can be one of our gap week
okay
fillers. So we'll see what happens there. So
okay.
All right. Well, that's about it. It's 10:25, it's a lot later than we normally get out of here. But on that note,
good night.
And big balls.